The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Look how good he moved that camera over here, son of a gun. Wherever I go, he goes. Let's see what you do with this over here. Oh, your family has come to see you. You remember Bart, your older son? Jesse, the illiterate... No.
So I lost my head for a second. Give the chance to kids. All right, I'm sorry, so I made a mistake. I'm entitled, I'm young. I'm entitled to talk the way I want. I don't plan it. It comes out that way. What do you want?
If you would say that a man with an ulcer had a nail in his shoe and a splinter in his finger was then struck by lightning, if you could say that that man was not hurt, then yes, you would say, I'm not hurt.
As one of the great comedic minds of our time, Jerry Lewis, he raises, what, $60, $80 million for muscular dystrophy. And the meanest-spirited people on Earth, the homosexual mafia, rip this man to shreds for daring to use the F word. Do you realize the mean times we're living in? Do you think Jerry Lewis deserves this kind of abuse from the homosexual mafia? I don't personally. I think they owe him an apology. And it just shows you how self-centered, how narcissistic, and how hateful they are of other sick people in this world. It's amazing to me that they have no compassion for people with muscular dystrophy, no compassion for people with heart disease, no compassion for people with cancer, diabetes, leukemia, children rotting in wards are ignored, all so that the homosexuals can take center stage and say, give us for AIDS. AIDS is the only disease that should be funded. The most overfunded disease in history is, of course, AIDS. This is really sickening. It's not the biggest story of the day. I mean, the biggest story of the day is another one you're not going to read about, which is ChinaGate is back again. That's correct. The donor, Mr. Xu, has disappeared. He has jumped bail. Now, what's interesting to me is that this is not being covered by virtually any of the networks. They call him disgraced Democratic fundraiser Norman Xu, who was a wanted man. He has now fled. What's interesting is he used a lawyer named Brosnahan, and Brosnahan has a very famous pedigree. Brosnahan said today, Mr. Xu is not here, and we do not know where Mr. Xu is. He says there was some contact with Xu. I think Brosnahan should be arrested, by the way, for conspiracy, in my humble opinion. Brosnahan is the very same so-called prominent San Francisco attorney who has been working the dirtbag case, the rat boy case, for years, trying to get rat boy out of jail. This very same rat boy who was found in, remember the early days of the war in Afghanistan? Brosnahan is a well-known left-wing activist in the legal profession. He takes many such cases. But why should he not have taken his passport? Mr. Xu, a Hong Kong native, was supposed to turn over his passport Wednesday. And Mr. Brosnahan said Xu failed to give the passport to the legal team on Monday. To me, it smacks of conspiracy. This is where the FBI should step in, not to persecute Mr. Ed Xu, the supervisor of San Francisco, but to get to the bottom of a case of this magnitude. This is disgusting. Prosecutors fear that Xu fled the country. Many of you don't know who he is. If I say Xu, you think shoe bomber. You think Richard Reed. But no, it's not a shoe bomber. This is a man, a known felon who has skipped out before. And the California Attorney General's office also has a black eye. You know why? Because prosecutors with the California Attorney General's office agreed to a bail reduction last week from $2 million to $1 billion for reasons that make no sense whatsoever. Deputy AG Ralph Sevilla said outside court, we think that that was enough, $1 million. But he's troubled that Mr. Xu didn't turn in his passport. You know, Mr. Attorney General, Mr. Jerry Brown, you're a very nice man. You're a good man. But instead of wasting your time on global warming, which is fictional, why don't you spend your time on prosecuting cases like this? That's the recommendation of those of us who really know what's going on. Why didn't Mr. Hsu turn in his passport? And which lawyer may have been involved in this conspiracy to have him flee the country, Mr. Jerry Brown? And also, why did your office permit the bail to be reduced from $2 million to $1 million, Mr. Brown? Is there any answer to these questions? No, of course not. Why? Because you haven't heard about these stories. Instead, you're talking about a missing girl, a racial slur during a muscular dystrophy, things of that nature. In other words, the trivia that the media magnates want you to focus on. And that's okay. That's the world we live in. Those are some of the stories that have attracted my attention. The archival audio of Jerry Lewis from The Nutty Professor, Jerry Lewis from The Martin and Lewis Show going way back. Very good stuff. And here's a guy who's killed himself all his life to raise money for muscular dystrophy. And late in the show, big deal, he made a slur. You're telling me that you never made such a slur? All you good liberal frauds, you. You tree huggers in Marin County, you never use the F word behind closed doors? Like, heck you don't. It's used in the community itself. I can guarantee you that that word is used amongst the homosexuals themselves. But I'm sick of the whole homosexual business. I'm sick of it up to here. Who gave them this much power? Why must everything be run through that lobby? Who are they? Connecticut man contracts anthrax from African drum. You hear this story? Danbury, Connecticut. A man in Connecticut has contracted cutaneous anthrax poisoning from African drums, officials said Wednesday. Mayor Mark Boughton told the News Times of Danbury, Connecticut, that roads were closed around the victim's house. You hear this? From a drum? This is unbelievable. A similar case was reported in February of 06 when a 44-year-old Manhattan man contracted anthrax poisoning from handling African drums made with goat skin. The man collapsed after performing with his dance company in Pennsylvania and was hospitalized for weeks. He started experiencing flu-like symptoms in January after he traveled to Ivory Coast and brought back goat hides to make drums. Health officials believe he may have inhaled anthrax spores while making the instruments. Inhalation anthrax infects the lungs and kills about 75% of those with such infections. Cutaneous anthrax, the most common form, can cause reddening and swelling of the skin and responds well to antibiotics. So there it is. They won't release the country of origin of this man. And, of course, the feds are trying to cover up the epidemic of ethnocentric illnesses. The big story of the day is Dems' dirty donor Norman Hsu fails to show for bail reduction hearing, leading to speculation that he's on the run. The subtext is, why did the Attorney General's Office of the State of California reduce his bail last week from $2 million to $1 million? And why does the attorney named Brosnahan suddenly say he doesn't know why his client did not turn over his passport? This is a case for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Instead of persecuting a supervisor in the city of San Francisco for something he apparently didn't really do, simply for political reasons, they ought to go after a real criminal, in my opinion. What's your opinion? Does Jerry Lewis deserve a break? Or are the homosexual radicals correct that nobody may say one word negative about this death style? I'll be right back. Savage. So a top Democrat donor to Hillary Clinton and other top Democrats, again, it's ChinaGate all over again. He jumps bail. That's after the California Attorney General's office reduced this bail last week from $2 million to $1 million. Not in the local papers, of course, not in the New York Times, not in the L.A. Times. Then the lawyer, Brosnahan, who represents Rat Boy and other all left-wing causes, Brosnahan says, gee, I don't know why he didn't turn his passport over. And nothing is done. I mean, how can we have a nation when the law applies only to those of us who are not connected to the Democrat machine? What kind of country is this? This is a form of Democrat-Republican tyranny, whereas if you make enough campaign donations to the right people, you can get away with virtual murder. And if you don't, you go to jail for a parking ticket. Beaumont, Texas. David, you're on the Savage Nation.
Well, it's quite an honor to get to speak to you, Michael, and this is just the latest in a bunch of onslaughts against Jerry Lewis and the MDA telethon that's been going on for a long time. But I tell you, the gay lobby has gotten to where they are so obnoxious. I think there's a big backlash that's brought up against it. Look at the way the gay marriage was rejected in every state overwhelmingly.
Yes, but they're shopping it to their perverted friends in black robes, who they handpick and put into judgeships, who then override the voters and say, drop dead to the state. I'm the law. I'm the law, and I'll do what I want. And now gay marriage is legal in Iowa, even though the people said we don't want this kind of camouflage, a synthetic marriage destroying family in the state. The judge should be taken out in an orange jumpsuit.
That's the way I feel. I think it's ridiculous.
And I think the people need to rise up against these tyrannical judges in fetid black robes.
Amen to that.
You know, there was a time in America when corruption was not tolerated because local officials feared not the federal government, but the local people. They understood that if they were a little too over the line, the people themselves would seek justice. Today, they are not afraid of anybody because they have the federal government to protect them, even though they violate the rights of the people.
That's true. It's just, it all started with forced busing, you know, which nobody wanted from any race or any background except these judges, and it just got worse and worse. In Beaumont, 26 years ago, there was a judge who implemented a ping-pong lottery. My former pastor lived right across the street from school. Their daughter had to be bused across town to a school. This judge had kids of school age. He moved away to another town and put his kids in a lily white
private school. Of course, Obama's kids go to private school. All of the Democrat candidates who have school-age children, kids go to private school. And yet they talk the big line about what's good for everyone else. We understand how the Marxists operate, David, which is a set of rules for the average person and a different set of rules for them. Thank you for calling. Mark, 8:30 on the dial in Los Angeles, California, the home of the pink hand. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Nice to talk to you, Michael. I'm kind of calling to give you a little different view on that. I'm a conservative teacher, and I think the problem starts in our schools. The whole gay lobby is teaching our kids in the schools that everything that is gay, everything that is liberal is okay. If you have any conservative opinions, you're wrong. I myself was actually a victim of that this week when I got attacked by another teacher because I dared to say something in a book that I wrote that our boys are being feminized in our society.
They are being feminized, and they're giving chemicals like Ritalin the minute they show any signs of having masculine traits or daring to question authority or saying, wait a minute, I don't believe that. They put them on a drug.
Exactly.
I know what's going on, Mark. It's going to take awareness like yours to permeate the society, and right now we are in the minority. Right now we are fighting a very difficult battle because the perverts run the school systems across America. The perverts run the medical system. The perverts have gained control of every major health department, including the CDC in this country, and they're putting forward their Bible of lies. Thank you for the call. Doesn't it feel refreshing to hear the truth? Doesn't it feel great to hear the truth that's going on in your own head? The truth that has been suppressed around America about virtually everything? And here I am, one wild cannon left in radio. One loose cannon, not tied down to the deck of conformity. One loose cannon going off on the radio every day. Can't have that, can we? We need conformity. We need all the cannons fired by the power structure. 1-800-449-8255. On michaelsavage.com, you'll find the main headlines. We changed the Teddy picture. Let's see. Arrogant illegal alien felon demanding return to the United States. That's that woman with the child, that one, that criminal. Murtha's pork chokes Rust Belt town. Shoe skips bail hearing. Attorneys don't know where he is. TB-infected Mexican illegal alien to be deported with his mamacita. Quisling rabbi fronts for Muslims who hate Jews. The type who led Jewish children into the ovens? But he calls himself progressive. See the story on michaelsavage.com. It's a reversal of everything you'll read in the newspaper. It's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. Now, thus far, opinion is still legal in America. It may not be popular, but it's still legal. Islamic terrorists stopped before they killed in Germany. Did you see that story hushed up by Rupert Murdoch's spin machine? I watched a story this morning on Fox News, and I didn't hear the word Islam or Muslim once in the story, by some girl with a lot of lipstick and shiny blonde bleached hair. All she did was smile and show teeth this morning and talk about terrorists in Germany and German police, and they showed pictures of an airplane, but they didn't say the word Islam. They didn't say Al-Qaeda. They didn't say Muslim. All they did was flash back to the girl with bleached blonde hair and overly shiny lips and absolutely vacuous, vacant eyes on Fox News, the new CNN of our time. Fox News is becoming the CNN of 5 years ago, as you well know, because as they want a worldwide market, they don't want to offend one of the largest population blocks in the world. They're also 19% minority owned by a Saudi Arabian. That explains an awful lot of their biased coverage. Just watch Dalep and the Wallbanger, and you'll know what I'm talking about. 1-800-449-825. Serbia threatens to use force if the West recognizes Kosovo. Go, Serbia, go. I'm 100% behind Serbia, and I hope that Russia sends the military in to defend Serbia from the Islamic terrorist takeover of Kosovo with the help of the international socialist community, including our own diplomats and our own government. Both Republicans and Democrats want to steal Kosovo from Serbia and turn it into a Muslim state, which would be suicide. But then again, Clinton committed suicide for the West by bombing the Serbs into submission through 92 of the worst days of my life. I pray Russia joins Serbia in defending Serbia from this onslaught by the killers who want to steal Kosovo, which has been a part of Serbia since the 13th century. Incidentally, over 300 churches have been burned to the ground ever since Clinton burned and killed the Serbian military out of Kosovo. All the churches have been burned to the ground by the religion of peace.
Savage.
Negato viso. What a beautiful song. Sempre un amabile. Does this bring, like, chills to the back of your hair, your neck, to think a human being could sing like this? Well, he's laying on his deathbed. Pavarotti, one of the great voices of maybe all time, certainly you can debate that, and I'm no expert. He certainly is way up there in the top 3 to 5, and he is obviously on pancreatic cancer in the last throes. These are lyrics from La Donna Mobile, from Rigoletto, and the song itself will no doubt be banned by the women's movement, because La Donna Mobile means woman is flighty. Qual puma il vento, like a feather in the wind. Muta d'accento e di pensiero. She changes her voice in her mind. Always sweet, pretty face. In tears or in laughter, she is always lying. In pianto o in riso e menzonero, la donna immobile, woman is flighty, like a feather in the wind, qual puma al vento. Muta d'accento e di pensiero. She changes her voice in her mind. E sempre misero, always miserable, is he who trusts her, he who confides in her, his unwary heart. Yet, listen to this. One never feels fully happy who on that bosom does not drink love. Now, if that is not the essence of the man-woman problem and the woman-man problem, I'd like to know what is. So out of respect for Pavarotti, let's just hear this one more go around, and then we'll get back to the mundane here on the Savage Nation.
Leggiadro viso, il pianto in riso,
pensiere.
Well, okay, there it is. You know, the problem is that we can't exchange lives, that on this planet there are people who know better than worms, and on this planet there are people who are as close to God as you can get. And unfortunately, after many a summer dies the swan, and sometimes the swine live longer than the swan. And that's it. There's no. It's like everyone votes, you know what I'm saying? You could have a 200 IQ and you get the same vote as somebody with a 70 IQ. You could pay $70 million a year in taxes, or you could take from the government as much as you can get, and you still get the vote. Isn't democracy wonderful? Isn't it great? Isn't it grand how it bestows so much benevolence upon the world? But that's neither here nor there anyway. Just some of my random thoughts here. I don't know, this thing about when you hear a voice like this going, leaving the earth, it's like a vacuum, just a vacuum, because where is it going to be replaced? Who's going to replace this? Who has the skill? Who has the dedication? Who has the talent? Who has the innate genetic capacity to replace a voice like this? They come along so seldom, every few hundred years, these great voices appear. And then you compare what's going on in the schools today, and how if someone like this appeared in an Italian school today, he would probably be given Ritalin and be turned into a castrato rather than into a great opera singer, because perhaps he would offend one of the mean-faced, clipped-haired teachers or one of the sweeties that came out of Rome to feminize Italy and make it safe for democracy and such. There we are in the Savage Nation. Now, I don't have a screen right now. I've lost my connection, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. I'm always connected one way or the other. I'll reconnect. I'll dial. Again, I'm flying without it happens. It's just radio. It's what it is. You know, there's a board here which tells me your name and your city and what you want to say. And I have a hookup that's normally good. And sometimes these systems break down. It's just a matter of weather or, you know, little things that happen. But we'll wait and we'll get reconnected. Then we'll talk. Why don't you throw a caller up? I don't care who it is. Anybody. I'll talk to the caller. It doesn't matter to me. Who are you? What are you calling about?
Hey,
go ahead, Mike.
Yes. Hi.
Go ahead,
how
Mike.
You doing? Now, about the Glad matter, yeah, I believe Jerry should be given a break. I mean, wasn't it over a week ago that Chris Matthews, on the allegation that Larry Craig is a homosexual, said he's a sexual deviant? I mean,
yes.
Is it all right for
yes.
certain people?
That's right. That's right. Softball called Larry Craig a sexual deviant, and the very same homosexual mafia that is now trying to take the head off Larry Craig said nothing when one of their front men, Softball, said that homosexuality of this nature, of this kind, is sexual deviancy. They let that go. So what you're saying is, how come they attacked Jerry Lewis, a man who raised $60 million for muscular dystrophy, for not even saying the word, the F word, while Chris Matthews, a Democrat front man for many years now, uses the word sexual deviancy about homosexuals, and they said nothing? The answer is, it's all politics. They hate Jerry Lewis. They hate Jerry Lewis for a number of reasons, not the least of which there's a bit of racism in this, my friend.
And also about the Serbian matter. Now,
yes,
sir. Now you said you hope that the Serbs do take military action.
Yes, Serbia threatens to use force if West recognizes Kosovo, is the story up on my website.
Yeah, but weren't we told a few years ago that that the Serbs were basically involved in genocide, particularly by one Elie Wiesel? I mean, I believe one of the main reasons
he was lying. There was no genocide. As a matter of fact, the UN studied it for 5 years and said 2,000 Kosovars were killed. They made it sound like 200,000 to 400,000 were killed. It was one of the greatest lies of our time. And it was all done by Bill Clinton and the spin machine. If you're look, I know the story like the palm of my hand. Bill Clinton was about to be thrown out of office because of the Lewinsky affair. They needed a major story. They invented this whole Serbia war against Kosovo. They made the Kosovar Albanians the minority, the oppressed minority, and they went to war against Serbia. They bombed Serbia for 78 or 82 straight days using United States Air Force planes repainted with NATO markings. I remember the whole story.
Yeah, and I mean, basically,
Look, Kosovo has been part of Serbia since the 1300s. The Albanians are Muslim. The Kosovo Liberation Army are a Marxist Muslim or a group. They started this entire war by killing Serbian policemen. That's how this whole thing started. They started killing Serbian policemen. They destabilized Serbia. The Serbians defended themselves against the Muslim onslaught against Serbia in order to steal Kosovo. That's what started the ball rolling. Now, let me just finish the sentence. Milosevic was a certifiably evil man. It was one of the most evil cauldrons in the entire world. There are no innocent leaders in that area. They never were. They haven't been for a long time. And there's hate and murder on all sides, to be fair to the equation. However, to now suddenly step in and steal a piece of a nation and give it to another person, another group of people, to me, is the mark of total insanity. It's going to destabilize the whole world. Thanks for the call. It's actually far too complicated, but there's more to it than meets the eye. I remember writing an article in 1997 or 98, whenever this occurred, called The Oily Tracks Run Through Kosovo. And it was all about oil and oil pipelines that had to come out of the sea, the Caspian Sea, into Europe. And the only place the pipelines could run rather cheaply would be through Kosovo. So never forget that it's always about money. If you analyze politics, it's about money. If you analyze territorial disputes, of course, it's about money, natural resources. So if you analyze this Serbia thing in Kosovo, it's always about money. That's what it's about. And because Serbia is now powerless, relatively powerless, and because the gangsters who run most of these European countries want the oil coming out of the Caspian Sea, and they want it as cheaply as possible, and they want to bypass Turkey, and they want to bypass Saudi Arabia, and they want to run it right into southern Europe. They want to run it through Kosovo, and that's what this is all about. So don't think it's about genocide or favoring one religion or another. They could care less about one religion or the other. It's all about greed. So there it is. We've gone from the ridiculous to the profane. And then, of course, we tried the sublime and nothing happened. Salt Lake City, Paul, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. I just wanted to say that tribute to Pavarotti was fantastic. He is a great voice of our time, and it was just great to hear his music and his voice amidst everything else that's going on.
Yeah, in the midst of this cesspool called the political world that we all find ourselves analyzing, it's amazing to be transported from the cesspool. But then, of course, that's what art has always been about, hasn't it? But you see, the reversal has occurred. As the degenerates have assaulted the art world, they have literally not lifted mankind up to another realm, but they've taken us from our already fallen state to a lower one by smearing feces on a wall and calling it art, by dipping a crucifix in urine. They're telling us that's art. What they've done is taken human beings and reduced them even further to a level below that of an animal.
Agree with you.
No animal would worship feces. Only a human being who's a degenerate would worship art that is fecal or other waste product based. You understand that, of course, Paul? You understand the times we're living in? Thank
you
for the call. Of course I'm right. I'm always right. And when I'm wrong, I'm proven wrong or I admit I'm wrong. Oh, God. The way of all flesh. The way of all flesh. Picking on poor Jerry Lewis. Picking on a man who raised $62 million for muscular dystrophy because a group of sick, degenerate, simping jerks sitting there with computers didn't like the F word. I'd like to hear what they say behind closed doors. I'd like to hear what they say about straights and women who have babies and the word breeder. How many times the word breeder is used? Don't tell me about the sacred cow, please. I've had enough of the sacred cow in our society. Had enough of these sacred cows. Everywhere you turn, there's a sacred cow. Muddying the waters, so to speak. Kansas City Mo. Sean, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I wanted to call. I'm a psychiatrist. I agree with a lot of what you say about a variety of things, but I think you're off the mark, and I doubt if you can have an intellectually honest conversation about mental health.
Well, that's a pretty broad statement. I mean, mental health in general, or is there a specific area of mental health?
Well, the fact that it exists. Yesterday on the program, you said that disorders such as ADHD and bipolar mood disorder weren't even real.
Well, hold on. Let's take that on its face value. Let's start with ADHD. You do acknowledge as a medical scientist that various nations, let's say the Western nations, do not accept ADHD to the extent that it's accepted in America. Do you or don't you?
I don't know about what other countries believe. I know.
Well, you see, it shows that you have a big gap in your own education. I mean, you're challenging me to have an intellectual conversation about mental health, and you don't even know the literature. Britain does not recognize ADHD to the extent that they do in this country.
They don't recognize it. I didn't say that they don't recognize it to the extent. What I said was that I don't know how much they recognize it, but I know that.
I'll answer the question. They believe that the medical establishment in this country overdiagnoses ADHD, too quick to prescribe Ritalin to children too young. They are very careful in their diagnosis and prescriptions for such because they think it's an overdiagnosed condition, number one, and overprescribed, number two. So what I'm getting at is it's quite controversial even among scientists in the Western world.
I didn't say that. I didn't call in about the varying practices from this country to the next. You may be right. And first of all, I do agree with you that ADHD and bipolar mood disorder in children and adolescents is overdiagnosed. That we don't have an argument there. The problem is that you made a statement that these conditions were made up in order to support the drug company, implying that there's no such true condition. Sorry, do you agree?
Well, I didn't. I don't think I said that they don't. Well, okay, let me put it this way. Let's go in another direction. You acknowledge that we don't argue over the extent to which ADHD is diagnosed in various nations, and it may be overdiagnosed and overmedicated. So at least we agree on that. I'm not so sure there is a condition called ADHD. How come it didn't exist several hundred years ago?
Wait a minute. I hear people referring to you as a Dr. Savage. Are you a medical doctor?
No, I'm not. I'm a PhD in nutrition from the University of California at Berkeley.
Good. Just wanted to clear that up. So you're not trained in the medical sciences, first of all, correct? Correct.
Okay. Well, thank God I'm not brainwashed by the AMA. No, I have not been brainwashed by the American Medical Association.
You're brainwashed by the APA, right, or some other dietary?
Oh God, no! I've rejected all of their teachings as well. They're mainly fraudulent.
Okay. Well, the point is that you also made a comment yesterday that how do people survive for millennia without being treated with various medicines for mental health? Well, I'll tell you, the way that they survived is the same way that they survived with high blood pressure, cholesterol problems, kidney problems, pancreatic problems, bladder problems, and every other problem that wasn't treated, antibiotics. People have grown up and lived through the millennia with all these conditions and haven't received...
Yeah, but you're lumping in subjective illnesses that are subjectively diagnosed. Mental health problems are subjectively diagnosed. There's almost no definitive diagnosis of most mental problems. I would like you to prove to me that all of these conditions can be definitively proven to exist.
Well, over the past 10 years with the advent of...
But you're trying to lump them in with definitive diagnosis of illnesses that we know exist. For example, cardiovascular disease, we can prove it exists in many different ways, whether it be through the occlusion of arteries. Pancreatic disease can be proven through diagnoses. But I'd like to know how you can definitively prove that all of these mental conditions that have been categorized by the American Psychiatric Association truly exist.
Okay, let me put it to you this way then.
Hold on, let's come back to you in a minute, right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
On from the politics of the time to a discussion with a psychiatrist who is on the line from Kansas City. Sean, welcome back to the program. Please make your main point in the next minute. I will not interrupt you.
I will. Thank you very much. We're up against the clock, so I'll make it quick, and then I'll let you go, and I'll get off. you challenged me to prove that any mental health diagnosis can be definitively proved. And so what I'm suggesting to you is that nobody's arguing that the heart can malfunction, the thyroid, the pancreas, pick an organ. And yet what you're suggesting is that the most complicated organ in the body can be free from malfunction. And it's obvious that other documented definitive disorders of the brain cause psychiatric symptoms. Take Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, mental retardation, seizures, Fragile X syndrome, or any other.
No. We don't disagree on that. Of course the brain malfunctions. However, my approach is totally different, I think, than yours, which is not to reject your approach entirely. I have friends who are psychiatrists who I absolutely respect. However, I think that the psychiatric profession is too quick to diagnose illnesses, categorize illnesses, and medicate illnesses without looking at causative factors that can be modified, which may not require as much or drugs at all. For example, if a person is eating, if a baby is given sugar diets, puff pastry and coffee in the morning, that baby is going to develop hypoglycemia, up and down mood swings. The answer is not to put the child on Ritalin or then later on Prozac, but to change the diet with slower burning fuels. Do you disagree with that?
No, I don't disagree with that at all, but what I'm disagreeing with...
So you see, it turns out that you and I may actually agree more than we disagree, and it's certainly wonderful to hear that I have people of your caliber listening to the show. All I can say is I'm going to send you a copy of Healing Children Naturally, glance at it, see if you are cynical or skeptical about it, and call me at another time, take it with 2 aspirin, and get back to me.
Savage. Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Flesh. Poor Pavarotti, one of the great voices of the last hundreds of years, is possibly on his last, in his last moments on earth here, lying on a deathbed with advanced stages of pancreatic cancer, and that's the end of a great voice. There have been other great voices in the past, but they come along so seldom that you have to take note when they do leave the earth, particularly in a time like this when we have been obsessed with white trash sluts who puke on themselves on Sunset Boulevard and have done nothing for humanity other than puke on themselves on Sunset Boulevard, being held up as role models for our time. Welcome to the Savage Nation. The real headline today is that the donor to Hillary Clinton and other top Democrats, California businessman Norman Hsu, has disappeared, skipped bail, and his attorney, Mr. Brosnahan, who represents Rat Boy and other left-wingers, says he doesn't know where he is and doesn't know why he didn't turn in his passport. Also, the Attorney General's Office of the State of California, I think, needs to explain why they reduced this man's bail from $2 million to $1 million days before he skipped bail. Is there a Democrat conspiracy involved? Only your hairdresser knows for sure, particularly if you live in 90210. This is the Savage Nation. The website is michaelsavage.com. There are other stories to talk about. Breaking news, B-52 mistakenly carried nukes. You've heard about that by now. Representative Paul Gilmore, Republican of Ohio, found dead in his apartment. Chertoff says colleges should keep tabs on foreign students. That's a shocker. I guess he's given up the crystal ball for good old eyeballs. And now on to the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Debbie, KNEW San Francisco, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. How do you do? Thank you for taking my call. Dr. Savage, I do suffer from psychological and psychiatric illness, and I denied it for many, many years, having heard stories of my grandmother in New York, who at a mummer's parade had just been released from a psychiatric hospital and was a little too happy, so was returned by black wagon to suffer another round of electroshock therapy. So growing up, when I myself found myself to suffer from similar symptomologies, refused to go get help. And I'll tell you, I do believe that humans, and I find it interesting that rather than recognizing that we do produce very...
All right, so but what is your main point? Of course there's mental illness. There's always been, marginally crazy people and overtly crazy people. We know that. So what is it that we're disagreeing on?
Well, I think it's not subjective, sir. I think that there is a scientific way of producing diagnoses by way of examining common symptomologies and behavior.
It's not that precise. That's the point. And that's where the rub lies. The doctors would have you believe that it's easy to diagnose and definitively diagnose that mental illness. And I disagree entirely. It's not that easy. Now, I've seen brain scan studies. Don't get me wrong. I've seen the different colorations in schizophrenics and others. But we have no fundamental argument here. In other words, I know there are people who are unstable. I know there are people who are totally crazy. And I know people who are rock steady and never suffer any such orientation. So where the argument arises is, can we control some of these proclivities through means other than medication is the only argument that I think we're having.
Well, I definitely think it can be controlled through medication. The disappointment.
No, you didn't hear me. You see, you went right over what I said. I said, can some of these symptoms or conditions be controlled with means other than medication?
I think it depends to what extent an individual is suffering. In my case, the answer is no. I spent many, many years seeking out. I went to Marin County. I saw the best nutritional therapist, and I wish I could say their names on air.
Did you try mega doses? I'm going to pick one thing out of the air. Did you try massive doses of niacin?
Sir, I tried niacin until my skin was so red, I looked like...
I'm only asking because I want to know how far you went along with nutritional therapies. Of course, they're not going to work in all cases. But you did try Dr. Hoffer's niacin therapy.
I had more niacin in my blood. I went to Oregon. I went to L.A. I had neurosurgery for a very bizarre...
They looked at your iron levels. They looked at your folic acid levels, correct?
Everything. I had more blood panels drawn from me.
You went that route. The route didn't help you, and now you're on major antipsychiatric drugs, and you feel better, correct?
I absolutely feel better, and I've been on
Fine. Well, no one's arguing with that. But I'm saying don't put children on Ritalin the minute they show signs of being a boy.
I absolutely agree with that as well.
All right, so there's no argument. You'll get me crazy if I keep talking to you another three minutes. Three more minutes, I'll need to reach for a pill. 1-800-449-8255. You can get me. You can go crazy from it. I once went and visited a holy man, a religious teacher. He was a former pugilist, a boxer, who then went into religion and became a religious guy. But he still maintained the man of the street. He knew reality. In other words, he didn't come from like an effete background. I was suffering at the time through various things that were going on in my life, mainly societal social engineering that made me feel like a failure because I was not granted what I had earned because they wanted to put people with less qualifications and of other races and of other sexual orientations. Total morons, by the way, given jobs, which is why the university has fundamentally collapsed in America in many departments, certainly not in all. And I was feeling it. I had two young children. I didn't know what was wrong. I killed myself. I did great work. I published my dissertation at a Harvard University journal. I mean, it was pretty good stuff that I did. And they hired whack job moron feminist tree huggers or people from countries of origin other than the United States of America to make them feel good and to look good on the brochures. So I go to see this holy man, and he says to me, what is exactly your problem? And I explain it to him. And he says to me, you know, we have a saying which says that if you take a stick and you put it into a dog, he used the word, I can't say it, let's say dog waste, I'll put it that way on the show. And he says, no matter which way you turn the stick, it's still dog waste. And he said, now, if you don't mind, I have to excuse myself right now. I got very mad at him. I was fuming because I wanted some mystical experience in this holy man's office. He told me, if you take a stick and you put it in, you know what, and no matter how you move the stick around, it's still you know what. What he was telling me is stop moving the stick around and you know what. And he was right. See, so there are many ways to cure problems. They're not all medicatable. Not everything needs medication. Sometimes common sense works. That's what I'm trying to tell you, is that there's an epidemic of loss of common sense. An epidemic of loss of common sense. We have a nation of ninnies. Everyone walks around, medication. I want my medication. I want my crutch. I want my drug. I want my medication. I want Uncle Sam to pay my medication. I'm sickly. I want my drug. Well, maybe you need your drug and maybe you don't. Maybe you're just a weak individual who refuses to take control of your own life. You know, you have diabetes and you're still eating Krispy Kreme. I wouldn't give you medication. I'd make you pay for your medication if you refuse to modify your diet. And you want me to pay for your diabetic treatment, for your treatment for diabetes, and so forth and so on. If you're not willing to help yourself, why should I help you? That's why our taxes are out of control in this country. But more than that, psychiatry is often used as mind control, societal control in our country. And I want to make a very big political point now, because we're moving very, very close to the ex-Soviet Union, where psychiatrists were used to diagnose people who were antisocial or anti-political. They were then taken away by the secret police, medicated into submission, and thrown into re-education camps. If you think we're not moving in that direction, my friend, you are mistaken. Some well-meaning psychiatrists are this far away from recommending that political dissidents in this country not be medicated. Trust me on this. I'm sure it's being discussed. That anyone who suffers this phobia or that phobia can only be treated with major pharmaceuticals. And I can guarantee you, as I sit here, that it's going to come from the homosexual radical community, that Christians who believe in the Word of God are psychiatrically impaired by definition, and they should be medicated, and they should be reeducated. That is the only way to cure them of their God madness. I can guarantee you, it's being whispered in psychiatric halls. So don't tell me I don't see what's coming in this country unless you stand up to this juggernaut of the medico-legal profession, or I shall say the medico-pharmaceutical legal profession, because they're all intimately involved. Now, that's not to throw away all of medicine. That would be foolish. And I've never said that. That would be a ridiculous thing to say. I'm talking about integrative medicine, where all of these modalities work together. You don't jump to one or the other. That would be like saying, oh, let's never use drugs and let's only use dietetics. That's absurd in most cases. So don't think that I'm a zealot in one area. But I don't want to be led around by the nose and to believe that there are no effects upon mind and body other than those that can be cured by drugs. The drug establishment is out of control in its power over the mind of the people. Take a look at the Viagra ads. I turned on Fox, CNN, MSNBC. I flipped around at 15 minutes after the hour all day. All I saw was a white-haired man dancing a woman around on a floor with a big smile as they left to the hotel room and said, Viagra, Viagra, Viagra. Every channel at 15 after the hour. Every man needs Viagra over the age of 40, according to the advertisements. Could it be that the man is impotent? Excuse me, erectile dysfunctional because he really doesn't want to have sex because he's not in heat? We are the only animal on earth who is deluded by our societal images and pressures into thinking that we should be, wow, I'm raring to go 365 days a year. I can spring up like a 15-year-old. I'm a potent man. There's no animal on earth that is potent 365 days a year. We're the only animal who's been deluded into thinking we should be. So now we medicate the fact that we're not attracted to the woman. We're out of sync with the desire. Or we shouldn't be having sex at all right now. Why must a man have sex 365 days a year? Where have you read an animal that has sex 365 days a year? It's unheard of. So in a sense, we are a totally insane society being led around by our nose. I'll be right back. Savage. about to read you a report that should have every parent in this country terrified of what the pediatrician is trying to do to you and your children. 9% of U.S. kids have ADHD. Nearly 9% of American children have ADHD, but only 32% of them are getting the medication they need. That's the sober conclusion of a quack that is now being quoted widely. I'm going to read this now. There is a perception that ADHD is overdiagnosed and overtreated, said lead researcher Dr. Tanya E. Froelich, a developmental behavioral pediatrician at Cincinnati Children's Medical Center. But listen, now here comes the punchline. But our study shows that for those who meet the criteria for ADHD, the opposite problem, underdiagnosis and undertreatment, seems to be occurring. See, they tag on the skepticism of science to the prostitution of institutional buyout of doctors. And then she goes on and says, in addition, children without health insurance were less likely to be diagnosed and treated. And she says children from poor families who have the highest rates of ADHD were the least likely to have consistent treatment with medication. So in other words, all the poor need to be medicated. And the findings were published in the September issue of the so-called Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine. You've heard me rail against pediatricians for years on this show. Pediatricians used to be saints by and large. And then suddenly they woke up to the fact that they made the least amount of money of all medical category or medical doctors because they had the least procedures, the fewest number of procedures and drugs that they could prescribe. And lo and behold, the pharmaceutical companies came along like the great savior and started whispering in the ears of the medical school deans, giving out grants to prove that ADHD and ADD and this D and that D, everybody needed some medication under the age of 15. And the prostitutes in the medical schools, greedy to collect the grants, greedy to go to the conferences in Italy or wherever for the summer and be good little boys and girls with stethoscopes, went along with it. And suddenly 9% of the kids have ADHD, but they're not getting enough medication. They should be put in prison. They're more dangerous than a crack dealer, as far as I'm concerned, because crack dealers, we know, are dangerous, and they don't pretend to be healers. These people, we think, are not dangerous, and they don't even follow the Hippocratic Oath, which is first doctor, do no harm. First doctor, do no harm. That is not even taught in medical schools today. Do you know that? Do you know that that used to be taught in medical schools? First doctor, do no harm. That was the Hippocratic Oath. Today, they take the hypocritical oath, which is first doctor, peddle a procedure or a pill. And of course, it's tied into the feminization of males in order to subdue the masculinity of our society. But more importantly, and the bigger political point, the reason I'm spending a lot of time on this is because it's a great passion of mine and has been since about the 1970s, is that in the ex-Soviet Union, political dissidents were declared mentally ill by quack psychiatrists who were bought off by the government, not drug companies as in our case, but the government went to psychiatrists at major Russian universities and they said, look, if you want to maintain your car and your dacha and your grants and whatever, you're going to have to go to Mr. Sakharov's house and you're going to have to diagnose him as mentally ill because he has showing anti-Soviet tendencies. That was what political correctness it was all about. So when we use the word PC or political correctness, understand what we are saying to you. We are telling you that you're living in an increasingly dangerous world where your political views can be declared examples of mental instability by the various left-wing groups. And then they can bring the power of the government to bear upon you, declare you mentally ill, force treatment upon you, and or put you into a psychiatric institution for years or for life. You say it can't happen here, and I'll tell you it is happening here. I can name 3 cases of people who were put into prison and killed and then suddenly died in prison because they were executed because they were dangerous to the state. Don't tell me it can't happen here. It is happening here. It's just that the power-mad lunatics who run the media happen to sit on the same boards as the pharmaceutical companies, etc. I've told you over and over again about the interlocking corporate directorships and how dangerous they are. Liberals used to understand this. They have forgotten their own teachings. They have become increasingly doctrinaire and increasingly socialist and increasingly fascist. Hey, listen, the empty suits and empty skirts in our government are opening the door to illegal aliens on every possible level, from the highways to the byways to the jails to the schools to the hospitals. And anyone who dares stand up to them, they try to kill and silence. Dr. Gene Rogers was fired from his job as a county medical official. You know why? Because he tried to stop illegal aliens from getting better health care than your grandmother and your grandfather and the poor of America. I spoke to him earlier today because neither he nor Michael Savage will be silenced in this fight to preserve our borders, language, and culture. The elites must be stopped. Doctor?
Well, Dr. Savage, thank you very much for allowing me to be on your program, and it's quite an honor, I must say. And I must plug Mark Cromer and the Californians for Population Stabilization for helping get the news out there that folks like you have has caught your eye. So I was the medical director for the County Medically Indigent Services Program in 1999. I wanted to take a position where I could help the indigent citizens of this country who were in desperate need of medical care. As a medical director, my role was to actually approve or deny the use of public monies for the indigent population if they met the medical necessity criteria for the condition, and also to determine whether or not individuals met the policies of the county, including the eligibility process. So if somebody was ineligible for the program, it was part of my responsibility, basically, to deny the services. The county's eligibility process was that the illegal aliens could receive non-emergency medical care. I learned in 2003 that this was actually illegal under the federal laws. And at that point in time, I challenged the county legally to stop the providing non-emergency benefits to illegal aliens. I was quite aware of the fact that when cases came across my desk that there was no Social Security number and that the individuals had been determined to be undocumented aliens, and with the realization that the law was that they were not supposed to be provided non-emergency benefits, I challenged it in court to have them stop it. This was in August of 2003.
What kind of government is this?
Well, I would say at least the ones that came through our offices for secondary care, for non-emergency specialty care or specialty diagnostic care in hospitalization, was anywhere from 5 to 15% of the population of charts that I reviewed. Well, anywhere from 5 to 15% would be illegal aliens. You know, the exact number actually hasn't been determined either by the county or by myself, even when I've tried to exercise the discovery process to get that information.
This is unbelievable.
Well, sir, you know, this particular law, which is the first of its kind, in the case is the first of its kind in California, stays under seal for a period of like 6 months to a year while federal and state investigators can look into the case. So while it was under seal, it was kind of undercover. I was not viewed as anybody any different from any other employee at that for about a year. But once the legal counsel for the county became involved in the case, of course it was knowledgeable. They were given notice in January of 2004 that they were being sued for this particular reason. And from that point forward, things started to go downhill for me. I mean, I was kind of ostracized from the management people who had knowledge of it. And I was subjected to meetings in front of the staff where they pretty much asked the staff if they had problems with me challenging the use of public funds for illegal aliens. And once I wrote the Board of Supervisors a letter asking them not to provide the services to illegal aliens and to stop subjecting the public here in this county to illegal aliens who are carrying contagious diseases, then days later I got a new job description and objectives that the county management was trying to make me achieve that were pretty much impossible to do. And I had early reviews, and they've provided me with poor reviews, of course. This was kind of expected by me. Actually, in February of 2006, I was provided a cease and desist order not to use any county equipment or anything else, and also to destroy evidence that I had accumulated of what the county was doing from the county management. So, I mean, I was subjected to quite a few harassment and retaliation type behaviors by the county.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, if you have a population coming across the border with contagious diseases that are populating our clinics, undetected with these diseases like 5-drug-resistant TB, leprosy, new entities to our population. If they're sitting in our clinics trying to get care and they haven't even been screened at the border, that puts my population at risk for picking up these diseases. But these people are out working in our restaurants. They're out in our industries. Anywhere that you go, you may be exposed to these folks in this county. So there's infectious diseases that are a threat to each one of us.
Is there any other news here?
Well, I was in my office when the program director, who is the program manager, my supervisor, walked in with a letter from Lynn Frank, who is the director of Health and Human Services, which said my services for the county had been terminated and were no longer needed, and they appreciated my service. And that was the end of it. I asked, well, for what reason am I being discharged? And the answer was, I can't discuss it. So I have no good reason for having been discharged. It must, to me, and from my view, it's totally in retaliation and harassment for having challenged the county for their policies of providing taxpayer benefits to illegal aliens. If that indeed were in violation of federal law. This was up until November of 2006, when the county council for the county of Sacramento went to the legislature, and Senator Deborah Ortiz, who was being termed out, and in 1 week, in August of 2006, in the wee hours of the night, they passed Senate Bill 1534 and sent it to Governor Schwarzenegger to be signed by the 30th of September, which became law the 1st of January of 2007, that they have the option to provide services to the illegal aliens. That brought them into compliance with the federal law. So as of January of 2007, if they indeed exercised their option to provide service to the illegal aliens, it would have become legal. But they had done it for a decade without having had that legislative ability. At that point in time, the heat really went up under my skillet because they were starting to really bring job descriptions and job duties and things like that to my attention that they thought I was not accomplishing. And they made it very difficult for me for months there. Before August the 6th, when they fired me.
What can the Savage Nation do about this?
Well, over time, I have tried to get attorneys to represent me in the original litigation. And this is a specialized type of litigation. It's called qui tam law, and it's false claims against the government for expenditures when things are illegal. And the qui tam people, realizing that the federal government has declined to enter the case in their own interest, you know, with George Bush wanting amnesty and Gonzalez being the attorney general, the Department of Justice was not interested in my case. And neither was the state attorney general, who at the time was Bill Lockyer, who was instrumental in the defeat of Proposition 187.
Are they kidding?
Well, I graduated from the University of Arkansas medical school, and I did an internship in Wichita, Kansas, and after that I went to war in Vietnam. And I have been a public servant in the military health care systems for the most of my career. I was at Fitzsimmons Army Medical Center for 18 years and then at McClellan Air Force Base as long as it existed here before I took the job at the county. But my objectives, since having served in the military, especially the veterans and the people who have been involved in our country's efforts to maintain our security, has been in public service.
That is amazing stuff. Appreciate you being with us.
Well, Michael, you're one of the Paul Revere's of this nation, and the ride of the Paul Revere's of this nation is not smooth. There's always a traitor trying to shoot you out of the saddle, but hang in there, bud. I'll be with you. And just two docs out there trying to get the right thing done.
Savage.
A story to show you. A man cuts off his penis to stop him sinning. This comes out of Spain. A man cut off his own penis and threw it in the toilet so he would stop sinning. The 30-year-old was recovering in the hospital Clinico Universitario in Salamanca in western Spain. Doctor said his condition was stable. The man from Salamanca cut off his penis with a knife on Thursday morning. He told ambulance workers he did it so he would not sin anymore. A relative found the man who has not been named in the house where they lived in the city and raised the alarm. He was bleeding heavily. The newspaper said it was not known if the man's penis could be sewn back. Now, see, I look at the story in a different way. This may be an attempt to gain asylum in San Francisco and a city job where political castration seems to be a chief prerequisite. And it's quite a shame, really, that he went to this extent because there was a time when they only threw their hats in a ring. But we're living in strange times, and in order to get a job in Gavin Newsom's city, I think that you must castrate yourself, certainly politically, and then you qualify for the health department, human services, education, youth programs and such. You might even become a supervisor if you cut it off and such, because then God knows what world opens up to you in California. So I don't see this as a mental illness. In fact, in San Francisco, this would be considered quite a feather in one's cap, so to speak. So where do we go from here? You heard what happened to the poor doctor who stood up to the illegal aliens coming in with tuberculosis. They threw him out. That's the new state of California becoming a third world nation. Step by step, a guy like Hsu, the California businessman, skips bail. The attorney represents him, a left-wing radical attorney, in my opinion, Bosnahan, who represents Rat Boy amongst other rats, says he doesn't know why he didn't turn over his passport when he was supposed to, doesn't know where he is, and we have no answer as to why the Attorney General's office in California reduced Hsu's bail from $2 million to $1 million. Now, to me, this is a case for the FBI. Certainly, it's a case for the FBI to look into, as opposed to using the power of the FBI to persecute San Francisco supervisor, Mr. Ed Hsu. For political reasons. It's amazing to me what's going on in our country, and so rapidly is it degenerating, I got to tell you. So don't think we all don't know what's going on. We do. What would you like to talk about? We can move on. Feminization of males, Pavarotti, doctors, shocks, medication, Jerry Lewis. Play the Jerry Lewis. Let me see which one I like. 14.
So I lost my head for a second. Give the chance a kid. All right, I'm sorry, so I made a mistake. I'm entitled, I'm young. I'm entitled to talk the way I want. I don't plan it, it comes out that way. What do you want?
I'm entitled to talk the way I want. I don't plan it, it comes out that way. The guy was a comedic genius. And also a great man who dedicated so many years of his life to muscular dystrophy. But God forbid that this man slipped and almost said a full F word. And out came the vicious claws of the purple hand. KNEW, Marco, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. You know what? Over this whole Jerry Lewis thing, what I don't understand, I live in San Francisco, and I have gone through the Castro. I've seen so much of what their pride, brings out, how proud they are to be wearing whatever they want to. I've seen guys half naked practically with pinched nipples, earrings, the whole bit. And I don't see anything derogatory about that word, the F word. So I don't understand what they could get mad about. What are you going to say that, oh, that word means you're a male who loves another male? Well, that is...
I don't understand. I thought it was a matter of pride is what you're saying. Why take offense at a word that reflects exactly what the community uses all the time to describe itself?
Nothing at all that these people are ashamed of.
Well, but somebody made a better point earlier, which was Chris Matthews, the Democrat front man on softball last week, referred to Larry Craig as a pervert. He used some horrible description of what he had done. Sick, pervert. And the gay community, the Purple Claw, didn't, the Purple Hand said nothing. Because this is all about politics. And apparently Jerry Lewis is not Democrat enough for the Purple Hand in L.A. He hasn't given enough. You see what it is they're jealous that he's using his time and his effort to raise money for actually sick people with muscular dystrophy as opposed to giving to the AIDS mafia. That's what it comes down to. It's all about money. Thanks for the call. I need a break. I went to the cardiologist today, not because I had to. I told you I started the whole series of tests. I'm exhausted from already 10 days of this. The CT scan and this scan and the stress EKG last week. Now I went to the guy. He's a great guy, by the way. Really took a long time. He went through every test. Unlike so much of the medicine today, this man is one of the best. But I got to tell you something. It wore me out because there I was sitting in the room, breathing in, breathing out, and suddenly I became my father. I can't explain it to you. I was doing, everything was fine when we were analyzing the stuff together. I was me. But the minute I had to take my shirt off and he said, breathe in, breathe out, put the stethoscope here, put, you know, suddenly I was my dead father. I mean, there I was sitting on the paper. And it's exhausting. And this is part of the problem with medicine. It's not that he did anything wrong. It's the whole procedure of subjecting yourself to the loss of chi energy just going into a medical place. Do you understand that? The entire process. You're around other poor, sick people. You see people hobbling around, number one. Then number two, they make you wait to humiliate you. Number three, they break you down step by step. You lose your personality, and nobody intends to do it. The system is set up to degrade you, and no matter how good the doctor is, you're degraded before you see him. And you walk out feeling exhausted from it. That's absolutely true. So I'm a little tired, I'll be honest with you. And, you know, you have to fill out this, who died of that, and how long did they live. You have to look at it all over. Who wants to look at this over and over again? This one lived to that, and the polyp and then developed to that. And then, I don't want to know about it. I mean, I know it's there, you know, and we all know we're going to go the way of the swan, and after many a summer dies the swan. And you do the best you can, and you do, you know, but at the end of the day, it's exhausting, I got to tell you. So I can only do so much, and I hope you've enjoyed what I've done so far. And I will try to do more maybe later. Maybe I'll take an hour. I may take an hour off today and go on a bicycle ride and contemplate the eternity because, to be honest with you, this is just a transition. And I've known it since I'm 4 years old. I mean, I know this is a transitory existence. I never thought this was the end stop on the L line. And I think the L line is only just one train ride of eternity. I truly believe that, and the trick is to hold on to that ride as long as you can, as long as you're doing it well. And the day it's no longer good, many of us don't want to stay on that train. That's not me, and I hope it's not you. And I hope that you all stay on the line a long time. But, you know, you hear the things that are going on, and you see the movement toward the Sovietization of the United States of America with an all-powerful federal and state government crushing the individual in cahoots with the politically correct, meaning the Marxist left wing in this country. It's very worrisome indeed, which brings me back to the main point of today. I am telling you that the overdiagnosis of mental conditions, the overmedication of our children in particular, is all part of the Sovietization of the United States of America. Just as the Soviet Union became more capitalist, we are becoming more like the Soviet Union as they became more like us. And we haven't seen the beginning of the end, not even the end of the beginning of where this is going to go. If we don't stop this trend, you're going to see people declared mentally unstable for not agreeing with the political structure. I can guarantee you that's coming.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Right after the show, I'm racing over to the yacht harbor to go out on my boat. So during the break, I called and I ordered two pizzas. I have a friend who's going to bring the pizza to the boat. So I said, "So she bothered me. She said, what kind of pizza? I said, I'm on a break. I don't know anything. I said, I know sausage and pepper and onion. I said, no, I can't. I said, Teddy's kosher. I said, he can't have sausage. It was funny. She laughed. I said, he's Hillel, not Halal. That's a joke unto itself, but it's like for a very, very small number of people, from Hillel to Halal in one generation. You know what I find amazing is that Halal food is actually kosher food. This is the good news, is that moderate Muslims actually eat Jewish food. Thank God. I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same kosher food laws. There's got to be some way to build on that. If a Muslim who's not fanatic can eat a kosher food that the rabbi certifies the chicken, you know, was circumcised or whatever it is, that the cow didn't go to a bathhouse, the normal cow had a husband, had a baby, then got slaughtered, boom, and I'll eat it. And they could both eat the same cow and the same chicken and then the milk and the meat and the flesh and the poultry and no winged creatures and no hoof creatures and no flying creatures with big eyes. And no feelers, if they go out in the right way, the wrong way, the feeler is this, then you can't. It's the same rules. It comes from the Old Testament. There's got to be a way to build understanding here between Jews and Muslims. You start with the halal and kosher thing. Maybe there's a way to save the world here. You can't eat a crawling creature that crawls backwards on its belly, but you can eat a crawling creature that flies on Mondays between 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern time. God. You ever read those rules? They're very complicated. Most of us can't even live up to the Big Ten. Just thou shalt not steal. Forget about it. You're already looking for a clause. Well, I don't steal, but sometimes I have to take. That's not stealing. It's like Paris Hilton. It's L.A. I do not steal, but I hear you on that. But I took something that wasn't mine, but it wasn't really theirs either. And because I'm in L.A., I hear you when I was caught and released in 3 days. Take another rule on the Big Ten. It's impossible for me to follow. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, I don't commit adultery because the person I did it with wasn't married. I may be married, but they weren't. So technically, if you look at it from a biblical point of view, that's not adultery. That's just having a good time, and the girl was single, and she knew I was married, and she wanted the money, so who's it bothering? Nobody. Wasn't adultery. All right. Everything is a clause and an out and a twist. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ass, his house, his mouse, his clock. The mouse ran up the clock. I don't covet. I only want it. How does it differ with the want from covet? I don't exactly know, but I know that covetousness is horrible. It is biblically detestable. So I never covet. I only want that which I take. So what I'm saying is we can't even live up to the Big Ten most of the time. Lie, cheat, steal. But now you take religious Jews and religious Muslims. They got like 300, or the religious Jews have 333 commandments. No wonder they're praying all day long. They're praying for forgiveness. Because all day long they're breaking a commandment. They got to be. They didn't touch the fringe properly. The fringe was blue and white, but not exactly the right blue. They prayed forward instead of backwards. The head moved. It's so complicated. And that's why you have to pray all day long if you have 333 rules, because no doubt you're breaking the rules somewhere. Even when you're sleeping, you broke a rule. The first thing you do when you wake up is say, God, forgive me for breaking a rule in the middle of the night. I touched myself below the belt. I didn't mean to. But I was asleep. It was unconscious. It was subconscious. It wasn't me. It was Harry did it. I didn't really do it. There's an evil spirit in me named Harry. Harry reached down below the belt. I didn't mean to. He did. You should punish him. Don't punish me. But since we're in the same body, I understand you, God. I forgive you. God says, you don't have to forgive me, man. I'm the big guy. I'm in charge. Well, I forgive you anyway. Don't say it again, because then you're really going to get punished.
Savage.
You know, I wanted to say this to you, and it's a delicate topic of talking about all the problems of the world today on the Savage Nation. And then there's another one, which is anti-Semitism flaring up in Europe. And people sweeping it under the rug, you know, synagogues are being burned. The media won't report on it. They sweep it away as fast as they can. Jewish school was burned in Paris, the land of liberty, equality, and fraternity, and the other crap that the French sell. But I was thinking why anti-Semitism might be flaring up. And I realized why. See, I was looking at Leviticus 20, and it says really heavy stuff in there. I mean, I'm not a biblical absolutist, so don't get me wrong, but I actually read the Bible. I don't read it literally, but I read the Bible. It says, if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. You don't want bestiality, right? Well, unless you're on the Supreme Court. Then, of course, you just want to say it's a matter of one's lifestyle. You want to sleep with a beast? Hey, why not? It's the American way, isn't it? Your human right to sleep with a donkey? But then again, if a woman approach any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. This is heavy-duty stuff. If a man shall take his sister, boom, kill him. Man lie with a woman having a... Man lie with mankind, so with a woman, both of them have committed abomination, boom. If a man take with his wife also... It's complicated. And if a man that lieth with his father's wife... Now, who's his father's wife? It's his mother. Both of them shall be put to death. So I was thinking about why anti-Semitism might be flaring up. Because if you get rid of the Jews, as many anti-Semites want to do, then you can get rid of the Bible, which the Jews gave the world. Then you can sleep with your mother. No problem.
Savage.
Give me some rock and roll here before I die. Gallup poll. 2/3 of U.S. are creationists. Really? Oh, my God. Oh. 2/3 of Americans say creationism is definitely or probably true. Mom, and well, I had a touch here. I really almost got appendicitis looking at this story. Hold it. The poll found that by a margin of more than 2-1, more Americans believe creationism is definitely true as opposed to those who believe it's stronger than evolution. Creationism, as you know, is the idea that God created humans in their present form within the past 10,000 years in accordance with biblical accounts. I guess they don't know about science. I guess you can. Look, I have told you 1,000 times, you don't have to become an illiterate, unwashed dummy to believe in God. You mustn't. In other words, you don't have to take it whole cloth. You can believe in God, and you can believe in the creation of man by God, and you can still understand science. They're not mutually exclusive, and I've done this on the show before. You don't have to throw away all of modern science and its discoveries in order to believe in God. This is the problem. It's just uneducated dolts who say there is no science. Carbon dating tells us that it's a little bit more than 10,000 years since the dinosaurs died. So how do you make a cord out of this? I had a religious man call the show who helped you understand this, that you can believe in God and creation and still understand science. But many of you want either or. You don't understand how to combine science with creationism. You don't want to know it. All you want to know is that God did it and that's the end of it. And anyone who doesn't believe it is the Antichrist. What he said was, is our concept of time is different as described by the Bible than as we know it. In other words, God created the world in 7 days, could be 7 million years. You see what I'm saying? That's how a rabbi, a brilliant intellectual rabbi said, of course he believes in God and creation. You see, in the supreme being. But it's like, on day one he did X. But day one to God could be 1 million years. You see what I'm saying? It's a different time frame than what we understand. I have to talk like George Bush. I have to slow down and compress and spread out syllables and talk slower. Because the audience may be, it's like Hillary Clinton speaks that way when she sells, or George Bush. Amnesty kind of thing. Creationism, blah, blah, blah. Brownback, Tancredo, and former Arkansas Governor Huckabee, when asked who did not believe in evolution. Ooh. Oh, God. For me, it's as simple as in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, Huckabee told members of the media recently. So that means anyone who believes in evolution should be thrown out of the universities? Does he believe in the theory that modern humans descended from primates? No, I don't, is his response. Well, we talked about that as well. What was my statement on that? What was my statement on the Neanderthal and previous forms of humanity? Or earlier forms of human beings, or proto-humans, let's put it to you that way. They were God's experiments. In other words, God has a whole universe to manage. And this is only one of many that we even know of. Maybe he has millions of universes, and this is like one universe with one tiny planet. And he says, all right, I'm going to create something like man down there. Let's start with this guy. Make it look like, he's too hairy, stooped over. All he does is eat vegetables. It's not going to work out. He rapes his wife, beats everyone up with a stick. Let's cancel that one. All right, let's go back to the drawing board. Well, yeah, all right, let's go. Then he goes to the next evolutionary step. The guy's a little more upright. No, that's like more like it. That's more like my vision. Keep it up. Keep it up there. Then eventually got to us. I mean, what is wrong with that concept? Why can't it be playful? See, a lot of you, God said can't be playful. God is playful. This is what you don't understand about God. God can be playful. God can be playful. God can be loving. God can be kind. It's not, I know many of you like the fire and brimstone view that I give you all the time, but there is some mirth in heaven. So God could have done that. Because, no, I don't, the chimpanzee, maybe that was his original idea for man. But then he's, ugly little guy. It's never going to work on television. We can't do a series around him. No. All right, let's try the Neanderthal. Give it add another gene in there. Put in another gene. We'll try the next step. A little taller, a little less hairy.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Oh, this is Bump and Grind. Remember those days? That was so great. Dance till you sweat. Slow dancing till you sweat. Now you're afraid if your collar gets dirty. Never mind dancing. You don't even want to talk in a white shirt anymore for fear it'll stain the collar. I love this falsetto singing. We would dance to this in basements. Finished basements. Can I give my story on finished basements? That's such an old thing, finished basement. Does anyone know what a finished basement is? Don't call. Of course you do. Can I talk about finished basements? These are basements found in Finland. Where are the girls now? They're probably in Boca Raton, either in a breathing device, a walker. The girl your heart pounded for, you thought you would die if she wouldn't go out with you. She's got a transfusion tree in the street.
I fell for you.
I'm not laughing. It happens. It's the way of all flesh. The girl you panted over, your heart palpitated, you couldn't do school. Your whole life rose and fall whether she would answer the phone and say yes or no. You're an idiot. You're great. She's got a walker somewhere in Boca Raton or Delray.
Of your happiness,
the way of all flesh. Time and gravity takes us all, my friend. Slowly you watch your body rot. That's if you're lucky. If you're not lucky, you don't get to see that. That's the way God set it up. So we all know that we're not God. Only He's supreme and eternal. Turn that off already. It's too whiny. You understand why God wants us to see ourselves decay in front of our own eyes? You want me to get ghoulish and dark now? I'll get ghoulish and dark. I'll get real ghoulish and dark. The reason God set it up this way is that you're supposed to decay slowly, suffer and die in front of His eyes. Is that so you know in the end, no matter how big a shot you thought you were when you were 30, 40, look at me. I got all this. I got the money, the girls, and this, the jets, the Grumman. I can pull strings, get people in jail, out jail. I'd have people knocked up. So the way it's set up is that you slowly decay in front of the mirror and you see yourself become nothing. And then you realize that at the end of the day, you are nothing. You realize at the end of the day, you're not God. You're not even a demigod. You never were. It was all a delusion. And that the religious prophets were correct from the beginning. And that ultimately it humbles you. But if you know that going in, and if you know that young, then you don't have to go through that trauma. Because you know that that's where it's going to end up. And it takes away the pain. You say, I welcome it. I welcome this because I welcome the cycle of life. That's all there is to it. But if you fought that all your life by thinking you're different and you're going to evade it with skin tucks and tummy tucks and this product and that product, you know, what do you think it's going to be like when you're 60, 65, 70, 75, whatever it finally, when it all deteriorates and all the sutures break open and you got to look at the portrait of Dorian Gray? Tell me you think you're going to handle it that way? I don't think so.
Savage.
People I come from, we curse death. We don't embrace it. Maybe you hippie scum embrace death. We spit in death's face. You can embrace death all you want. We fight it to the last second. The people I come from, we were taught to fight death. You schmucks have taught to embrace it, which is why you're killing our society, you liberal idiots. You're embracing the people who are coming with knives to cut your own throat. That's because you've embraced death. You're embracing those who would give you death. You idiots, you don't even understand how sick you are. It's only people like me who fight death who can save the society. Do you understand that? Chemo failed, tumor grew. No more treatment options. Nerve block in place, helping pain. I shouldn't even read this on the air. I wasn't going to, but you know, when you get on the radio and you get a thing like this during a show, it's just devastating. The man didn't do one bad thing in his whole life. The scum of the earth seemed to go on forever with no diseases. And the good seemed to die young and get the torture they don't deserve. That's the world. It's enough to make you pretty angry, I can tell you that right now, and pretty crazy. I ask myself, what am I working for? What am I working for, to wind up with the same diagnosis or to drop dead here on the show one day? You ask yourself these questions. Guys my age, within months, never retired, never did a wrong thing in his life, worked since he's 11 years, since he's a kid, Air Force, Major League, good man, perfect churchgoer, family man, and he gets this disease and he's suffering like hell. Why? God needed a little toy? God need a little toy? Now, don't give me a homily now. I don't want to hear one of you guys give me, you know, why does God do bad things to good people? I don't want to hear that crap. I don't believe a word of it. Not one word of it. I think it's all random at a certain point. I don't believe God intervenes in everybody's life every second of the way. I think there are cases where you can say there's some kind of miracle or an angel or this and that. But by and large, God could give a rat's behind less about most of us. He doesn't care about most of us. There's nonsense. You see the worst vermin on earth riding the waves to the end. They never suffer a second in their life. And then you see good people like this, their guts being eaten out, and then the ghouls called the doctors taking the last ounce of dignity from them and their last dollar. Well, thank God maybe he has a medical plan. I don't even know. I don't know. Maybe socialized medicine is the answer. It couldn't be worse than what we have in this country. Couldn't get any worse than this. So you wait a little longer for the ghoul from Calcutta anyway? That's who do you think's going into medicine today? The smart kids don't want to be doctors anymore. You think they want to torture themselves and put up with an HMO and a lawsuit for someone who said that you lifted a skirt?
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Zechariah talks about what could be considered nuclear war, and it shall come to pass in that day that there shall not be light but heavy clouds and thick. You hear this? And there shall be one day which shall be known as the Lord's, not day and not night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time there shall be light, and it shall come to pass in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. It's frightening. I mean, it really makes your hair stand up. Because it's pretty ugly what's coming. He says, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. If this doesn't sound like what's going on right now, it seems to me all the nations of the world are lined up against Jerusalem right now. It seems all the nations are lined up against Jerusalem, except the nation of Christianity here in America. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity. But the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. And when he fighteth in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives. Shall I stop this right now? Read it for yourself. It's in Zechariah 14. So he actually, in this Zechariah, predicts that Israel shall be attacked, the city shall be razed, half the city shall be taken into captivity, and at that point, God steps in. And at that point, you'll have to see how this story comes out. It says that, because it goes like this, and it shall come to pass in that day that there shall not be light, but heavy clouds and thick. So the Israelis then go nuclear, and they incinerate Iran, they incinerate Syria, they incinerate their enemies. And it shall come to pass in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall the Lord be one and his name one. All the land shall be turned. I don't want to read anymore because many of you don't believe in this. And I don't know whether to believe in it. And this shall be the plague where the Lord will smite all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. You listening to this one? If this is not a description of nuclear destruction of the Iranian people and the Syrian people, I'd like to know a better clinical description of than what I'm going to read to you. I'll read it to you. It is a description of the after effects of a nuclear holocaust upon Iran and upon Syria. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. And their eyes shall consume away in their sockets. And their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. And they shall lay hold every one in the hand of his neighbor. And his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. So it's terrible. It's terrible, but that is what the psychopath from Iran wants. The psychopath from Iran is trying to annihilate the Jewish people. He stands up with that dirty smirk on his face every day and says, the death of Israel is near. The Jews shall be driven into the sea. We shall destroy it. This is every day. And those pimps at the UN, those whoremongering pimps at the UN say nothing. Those dirty, useless pimps in the UN, I have nothing but utter gutted contempt for all of them. They're worthless, all of them. They say nothing. Instead, they attack America. They attack Israel. And they wonder why we, the people who know what's going on, want those degenerate bums thrown out of the east side. Don't get me started. Don't get me started because I can get really good started here. The UN, I spit on them. Worthless. But God will take care of them in the end, I can guarantee you. But what I've read to you before I got emotionally wrapped up in this is a perfect clinical description of what happens to people with the effects of a nuclear bomb. Now, it's interesting that I'm talking about this right now because I once interviewed on this show 10 years ago the man who created the neutron bomb, and it was an astounding interview. I have the tapes somewhere. I have to get them for you for next week. But he wrote an autobiography called Shame. His name is Cohen, I remember now. Mr. Cohen developed the neutron bomb. By the way, we have no neutron bombs. George Bush Sr., disassembled all of them in an attempt to make the world safer. Did you know that? I don't know if you know this. It's shocking to it's heartbreaking to tell you this, but hey, what the heck? I'm that kind of guy. We once had neutron bombs. George Bush I disassembled all of our neutron bombs in an attempt to make peace. He went along the liberal road. Now, our enemies now have neutron bombs. We don't, so far as I last checked. But Mr. Cohen writes in his autobiography, Shame, about a lot of symptoms of a nuclear explosion. And you're not going to believe what I tell you, and it's going to take me a little time to get into this. I didn't plan on this right now. I'm going to have to go get the book, which I have a few steps from here in my vast Savage library. I have the biography. I'm looking right at it here, but it's at the back of the office, the studio. He describes why he thinks, psychologically, why he became a scientist, and why he developed a bomb that would do this to people. The symptoms that I just described to you, the melting away, in essence, of a person's flesh. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their sockets, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. To me, out of Zechariah, I'm reading to you a prophetic vision of what's coming to the enemies of Israel. It ends with Jerusalem shall dwell safely. The enemy shall be exterminated. But this is after half the Jews are killed and taken into captivity. In other words, you want to talk about a nightmare scenario. You know, who's the winner here? Well, it would be much better if the UN sent out a strike force to take out the psychopath of Iran before he leads the world to a nuclear holocaust. That is what any sane individual would understand needs to be done. These madmen must be stopped. But instead, we have psychopaths in America. We have idiots on the Democrat side who say we are provoking Iran, that they're peace-loving people, that they mean no harm. They are the most dangerous people on the planet. These potheads, these sexual deviants that the media continues to hold up as role models, these know-nothings, these psychopaths, get up and scream they hate George Bush. They hate the military. We're the warmonger. They have everything upside down. They may as well be looking through a diseased mind. Because they are looking through a diseased mind. As William Blake the poet wrote in the 19th century, the mind that alters, alters all. They have altered everything. They now take the nation, their fatherland or their motherland called America, which has given them so much, and they spit on it and they hate it. And they turn us into the monster, and they turn the true enemy of civilization, of life, into an oppressed minority. If that's not an example of an insane mind, I'd like to know what is. And yet, if you turn on Larry King, he specializes. He is a specialist in interviewing these diseased minds. We see a book coming out now. Publisher lower than OJ, says Michael Savage. A book by a man who allegedly committed two murders, held up as a book. Is this a book? Or is it something other than a book? These are all symptoms, though. These are not the problem. I want you to understand something. This book is not the problem. These people who appear on Larry King are not the problem. They are mere symptoms of the disease, the rot of our soul. The nation's soul has been rotted out. Just as the enemies of Israel will take half the nation and destroy it and put it in captivity, so half of our nation has been taken and put into the captivity of liberalism. Don't you understand that? They are the diseased minds of our time. And we must not let that disease spread to the rest of us, particularly in these times. We must not let the diseased minds convince us that they have the right way. Everything they say is wrong. Everything they tell you is upside down. How else do you explain an idiot like Kucinich telling us that Iran means us no harm, when every day Iran says, we will destroy every Jew, we will kill, we'll destroy Israel, wipe it off the planet? Why is this guy Kucinich allowed to speak on Fox, on MSNBC, on CNN? There are Jews all over those media outlets. What kind of Jews are they? They're exactly the Jews that the Bible wrote about. The Jews that worship the golden calf.
Savage.
That approach, that there is no spirit, there's no afterlife, there's no God, that it's just this giant mechanistic thing. So what? You can still be moral. You can still be decent. That's the whole point. And also, it shouldn't change your whole attitude towards how you treat other people anyway. You can still be a decent person to them. It doesn't have to turn you into a monster. You could still want to go through earth as a decent person. What's the difference? If you're only doing it because you're afraid of getting punishment at the end, it makes you a worse person. If you're an atheist who's decent to other people because you want to be decent, you're a better person than the religious person who's doing it for fear that you're going to be punished at the end of the road. Do you like that reasoning? That's pretty good. So then what's the meaning of life, you ask yourself? Do you ever watch a child die? Why does a child die? Do you ever go to a cancer ward with children? Why are they suffering? Who did they hurt? Why should they hurt when you got people out here that are so cruel? Or you look at people you know who should have suffered and don't. And there's no answer for that. So that's the making of religion and theology. People try to figure that one out. The answer is, for me, it's always been one thing in my adult life, survival. Survival is my motivation. You must survive, period. There is no reason for it. The reason of survival is for survival alone, as a role model for your children, if for nothing else.
Savage.
Come on, play me rock and roll, will you hear?
My love must
shabab,
be a
shabab,
kind
I'm not too sure
of blind love.
Oh, I wish I were 15 with a crew cut haircut and knew nothing.
I can't see anyone.
I mean, I've eaten of the apple of knowledge, man. Eve made a mistake, so did I.
Shabab, shabab.
Look at the dog. You don't shabab, know from shabab. Nothing. You don't know from nothing. They sleep peacefully. They don't know they're going to die. That's why we love them. Oh, is that why we love animals? Turn this off. I'm not trying to depress you, but isn't that why we love dogs? The innocence, the no knowledge. They have no knowledge, no fear, in essence, unless it's a real fear. They can't project fear. They don't sit in the bed and say, well, one day my kennel ration will be cut off. You know, if their belly is full, that's good enough for them. They don't say they're worrying about getting more kennel ration in the basement for tomorrow. And they don't think about getting old. They don't think about, you know, losing their poodlehood. They don't think they're going to lose their poodlehood. They just know that's what they are. They're happy in their skin. Everyone's interbreeding poodles now. There's cockapoos. That's a what is that? A cockatiel with a poodle? No, it's a cocker spaniel with a poodle. That's a cockapoo. Then there's the, I saw a Maltese, a Maltipoo. So what I say to Teddy when he sees one of them is, honey, don't worry, you're a poo-poo. You're 100% poodle, you are a poo-poo. It has a double meaning to me. It's a joke. He's a poo-poo. He's a pure poo-poo.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Oh,
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
I don't like cutesy. I don't like people who talk to their children cutesy. It makes me squirm. You ever hear these parents talk to their children with, like, cute talk? That's why the child winds up a psycho. You know, I got to tell you a little trick about child rearing. In my opinion, one man's opinion, and I haven't done so bad. Speak to them as you would an adult, and they will grow up more intelligent, and they will be more competent younger. You ever listen to the people with the children? I love the ones who take them to a restaurant and give them a lesson in front of you to show how smart they are, how smart the child is with the pencils and the coloring book. You're spending $29 for a plate of spaghetti that costs 4 cents, and there they are next to you. The guy with the ponytail, he's 63, with a 30-year-old girl he met somewhere at a club. And right away, a year later, they have the 2 years later, they have the baby, and 4 years later, ready the coloring book and the crayons in the pasta palace. And they're all set up. They got the whole thing. They got the backpack. They got the diaper at your next table. And they got the coloring book and the crayons, which should be outlawed in restaurants. It's not ding-dong school. Not everything is a ding-dong school. There was a time, and I raised children. I wasn't allowed in certain restaurants with the children when they were young. I didn't like it. But I understood it. People didn't want to be disturbed by children. Now, if they get sued, if they say to the people, you know what, we'd rather you not change doo-doo at the table. Right away, they call ACLU or a lawyer like an ACLU, or like a smarter one than an ACLU lawyer, the brother who went into private practice with the same mentality. Marvin goes into the ACLU because he's stupid, and Barry goes into the private practice and sues, but they're the same mentality. Two heads of the same hydra. That's it, the coloring books in the restaurant. How do you spell Louisiana, Louise? Very good. And then the mother claps at the desk. You hear this? This is where you're sitting having a romantic meal. $29.95 for the pasta al ripofo, antipasto consisting of a piece of old rotten cheese from Brooklyn that they couldn't sell to the Italians in New York because they know better. So they ship it to San Francisco. That's $9.95 for one little piece of mozzarella cheese and a tomato. They give it an Italian name, $9.95 with a tomato and one little piece of cheese that the Italians rejected on the wharf. Even the wharf rats rejected it, but they can sell it in San Francisco. And $29.95 for pasta al creato. I don't mind it, all right, but you're going in for the ambience. No one's there for the food. They're in for the ambience. But the coloring book is there right away. And the lessons you have to listen to. Do you ever hear these lessons at these tables? Does this go on in Louisiana or only in the major cities that you have to listen to these impossible parents? I never talk cute to the children. Okay, I'm a product of my upbringing. Harsh, Spartan-like. Don't be cute. I don't like cute. No jokes. Just get back to work. No matter what I did, I try to entertain my... All right, get back to work. Stop the entertainment. He knew I was trying to, like, wiggle out of work by entertaining him. All right, that's very good. Now get back to it. No radio. On the way into work, I swear to God, if I was, like, driving in his car, I don't know how old I was. He didn't want the radio on. If I tried to put the radio on because it was horrible, sitting next to your father in a car on the way to work, it was going to be a horrible day in a disgusting market all day long, which I didn't want to do. I didn't want to go to begin with, but I didn't say anything. Okay, he needed me there. That was the way it was done. I didn't have any option anyway. It was like a little prison camp. But all right, so you sit in the right seat like a dummy, your hands folded on your lap, and nothing, not a word, mum. The whole ride. BQE, the Kosciuszko Bridge, the stink of the pork dying there, the Trun's meat market. Where the eye goes out, you think that you ran over a skunk, but there are no skunks in Williamsburg. That packing plant in August was enough. You talk about a weapon of mass destruction. The Trun's meat packing plant in Williamsburg, Brooklyn in the 50s was a WMD. That's why rents were low in those days. The floors were cockeyed with linoleum that when a dog would urinate in the bedroom, would run into the living room because the floors were old. But that's the way it was. No one complained. Today you got the same losers who can't live in Manhattan. They live there now. They discovered the charm of Williamsburg. Oh, I really love it over here. It's really great. You know, it's right near the overpass, and I like the factory area. Nobody ever wanted to live there. Even when it was in its heyday, nobody wanted to live there. But the point I'm making is a little different. So if you sit in the car, you're next to your father driving to work, And you know, you can't say anything. There's nothing to say. He's grim. He's white. His hands are white knuckled on the wheel because he's gone in again another horrible day to make a living. Nothing was fun. Nobody worked in those days for fun. This was an evolution of the Dr. Spock generation. Find what's fun and pursue it. Pursue what's fun. To my father, nothing was fun. It was grim. Horrible. It was like Grimm's fairy tales. Came over, work, drop dead, and move on. It's in the ground. In the ground. That's it. Next case. Next generation. There was no fun. From another world, they didn't know what the word fun was. So he's driving to work. The hands are like white knuckles. And I'm sitting here. So my hand reaches, the left hand reaches for the radio dial, like to punch a button in. No, no radio. So what do you mean no radio? I don't want music. Why? Never mind why. This is not entertainment. It's work. So, all right. So work has to be torture. I get it. All right. That's why I'm in the radio business. I was made for this. What I'm getting at is he didn't like cute. If he saw people, and I'm the same way, unfortunately, I become him in essence. This is how it is. All the years I resisted becoming him, I came, a long time ago I became my father. I admit it. There must be something to it. Worked for him. It's worked for me so far. But he didn't like cute. People who talk cute to the children. You know, the guy was 100% right. Let's say I'm talking generally, 9 out of the 10 couples did not talk to their children in because it was like embarrassing. Anyone who did that, the child either wound up in San Francisco wearing a pink set of tights at 19 expressing himself, or the girl wound up married to her sorority sister. 9 out of 10, they never wound up okay. None of them became anything. That's true because of the liberal upbringing. Liberalism not only is a mental disorder, but destroys children. You need to raise children the old-fashioned way. I don't say hurt them. I never got hit. Even hit me. Just verbal abuse. It worked better.
Savage.